Georgie Crawford, and I'm a health coach.
And I'm Claire Solon, and I'm a life coach.
This is Soul Sisters, where we get together to navigate the challenges that life throws our way by sharing the wisdom we've learned and taking a moment to have a laugh too.
The Soul Sisters podcast is a Good Glow production brought to you with thanks to Colgate. Colgate is the number one toothpaste brand in Ireland and the world.
We partner with Colgate because they are the champions of optimism. They inspire and empower people to be the hero of their own lives. They are committed to improving oral health and believe that everyone deserves a future to smile about.
Colgate says, "Our smile is our strength," and we couldn't agree more. So all this season on Soul Sisters, we're going to share our reasons to smile.
And we're back, season two of Soul Sisters. Claire Solon, my soul sister, how are you?
Babes, good to see you, good to hear you.
Yeah, so much has changed. We haven't really been in touch as much as we were in the first season because we got really busy in April. So it's good to reconnect and like come back together again.
Yeah, it is.
So I think in the last episode of season one of Soul Sisters that you seemed kind of down. You had a lot on your plate. How are you doing? How do you feel, you know, when we come into a new month like May? How are you feeling?
Oh, infinitely better.
Really? Why?
So I assessed this, obviously, because I do this for a living in terms of coaching. So I'm always helping people revisit difficult times in their lives, find some perspective, and then reassess where they are in the present moment. So looking back to where we left off at the end of Soul Sisters, I had the sinus infection, and I always say that physical ailments are manifestations of emotional stuff going on underneath the surface. And I think behind the scenes, I was working hard. I was interviewing for a new job, which was going to be an internal move. So I was probably overthinking what my current boss was going to think and what the move to the new job was going to be like. I was going to say goodbye to radio, which has been my everyday for the last 17 years. And also, which I wanted to talk about today because it's something I don't know that people give themselves a break for. And I've heard you talk about in terms of your cancer diagnosis, calendar events. So at the beginning of March, I was coming around to a year where at that point last year, I was really, really down. I was in a really bad place and there was a lot of darkness, unexpected darkness. And so coming back to that point a year later, your energy, your body, everything is remembering how you were.
Yeah.
And so you just get a little bit out of sorts.
So we're into May now. This is something I wanted to ask you about, right? Because I've just read an email from my friend Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh, how's Gwenny?
She sends me the same email twice because I'm subscribed to her newsletter twice. So I get two of the same email every day. But anyway, she outlined what she does on a daily routine in her email today. And I was like, oh my God, what does Gwyneth Paltrow do every morning and every night? So every morning she meditates, and every night since 1998, she has had a bath.
I don't know if that could be true.
She said it in the email, Claire.
She said it in the two emails. It must be true.
So a bath every single night. Is there something that you do for yourself every single day?
I don't have a bath. I don't have a bath.
I'd
love to have a bath. My flat that I bought here in London 2 years ago is from the 1950s, but it's one of those flats that has toilet in one room and shower and sink in the other, and there's no bath.
Wait, so your toilet is in a room by itself and then your shower and your sink is in the other room?
Shabba.
Claire, because you remember you told us a story about Neil and your shower hose getting broken, and I fully pictured your bathroom and it had a bath in it.
Well, you know what? You're doing for me. You're manifesting the bathroom I've always wanted.
Okay, so no bath. So when you go home to your family home, so are baths just no longer in your life anymore, or would you crave the odd bath?
So here's the thing, actually, right? So my next door neighbours have two
cats.
Don't
tell me. I thought you were going to say my next door neighbours have a bath and you go into it. Okay, sorry. I'm just going to let you tell your story.
I am about to say that. So I'm feeding the cats to the next door neighbour, right? I was in there this morning. The cats are like, wow, wow, feeding them, whatever. And then I always do a poo check around the house because I do this quite regularly for my neighbours. And I go into each room and I'm like, a bit like people, which really drives me mad. Not really, but you know what I mean? I know it has to be done, but people pick up babies and smell their bums, you know? I always think it's so mad looking. Anyway, I go into the sitting room. Quick look around, no cat poo. Go into the next room, next bedroom. Oh, and I go into the bathroom and I looked and I thought, my God, that's a lovely looking bath. That's a gorgeous bath. And it did cross my mind because I'm looking after the cats for the next few days. Would it be really weird?
Yes.
Would it be really weird if I, with these lovely neighbours of mine, if I just popped in, did a quick clean, quick GC of the bed, of the bath, jumped in, quick clean again, disappear.
Yes, I think that would be so weird. You can't ever do that. How? Oh my God, I just can't. There's too much to process.
Why is that? So are you thinking about being my neighbour?
Yes.
Right, okay.
I feel like if I said to my neighbours, who are all amazing, you know, will you pop in and just check on my house? I think it would be so weird if they had a bath in my house. Back to the question. Is there anything that you do every single day? Like, what is the... I feel like it's to go out and get a coffee.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And interestingly enough, I will go up to cut the mustard and get a coffee most days. Now, unless I'm going into the office, I'll go into central London and get a coffee. But I did, my coach did, on that coffee thing, my coach did say something that really struck me in the last few weeks. He said to me, Claire, you should change it up a bit. Don't be gone. I never go for coffee in the same place twice. Oh. And I was like, come on, that can't be true. And he goes, no. He goes, Claire, habits and comfort zones are dangerous places. Mix it up. So I've been mixing it up a little bit. I went to a different coffee place called Ozone in Shoreditch, which is like quite a cool neck of the woods near where the office is. And this place was serving breakfast as well. And one of the chefs came flying round the corner like to grab something. And I just looked at him and he flashed me this big smile.
Ooh.
Yeah. Which doesn't really happen again in London. I mean, I'm sure it does, but it doesn't happen very often to me in London. So I thought to myself, that's it, you see. That was my reason to smile. So listen, what have you been up to since I saw you last? I mean, first of all, before you tell me what it felt like, I have to commend you for actually running that half marathon in New York.
Oh, it was so obviously I was still injured, so I was running quite slowly and I wasn't in any pain though. We got my knee to a place where I was okay. So I was, you know, I was enjoying it. I was taking my time, wasn't putting myself under any pressure, but unexpected. Okay. So you always kind of imagine how you're going to feel doing something like this, but then the unexpected things on the day happen. The people who came to watch it were so amazing. The signs were so funny. Such a different vibe in Brooklyn to when then you crossed over the bridge into Manhattan. It was amazing. So yeah, we did it. And then we were in JFK on the way home. And I said, we have to do this next year with like Team Good Glow. So that's in the process at the moment. We're trying to sort that out. You know, for me, in March next year, I was supposed to be in a very different place. I was supposed to be, I guess, on maternity leave if everything had have worked out as planned. And I'm going to be somewhere else. And I'm not so dreading that other place where I'm going to be. You know, I'm open to what am I going to learn in the time, you know, when I thought I'd be doing something different. So I just want to, I want to fill those few months with positivity and good vibes if I can.
That's really big, because anybody I met who listened to Soul Sisters last season asked me, you know, truly, how is Georgie? Because that surrogacy nightmare that you had to go through was really heartbreaking. And, you know, you did allude to the fact that most of the time you weren't okay. You weren't really leaving the house.
Yeah. So everything is different now. I am happy to say I leave my house every single day. And if it's not to go somewhere, it's to go for a walk or whatever I'm doing. I feel kind of back to myself a little bit. Mm. We are at a crossroads where my heart is still with Ukraine. But do I need to put the plan B in action? So our plan B is Canada. Mm. We have been talking to the amazing people in Canada. We've learned all about surrogacy over there. We've been chatting to agencies, lawyers, everything, you name it. But I just can't start the process for some reason, because wow, my heart is in Ukraine.
Are your embryos still in Ukraine?
Our embryos, we found out last week, officially are in Slovakia. We found out on Facebook that our embryos were rescued by a doctor who put our embryos in the boot of his car and drove them over the border to Slovakia to safety. The man made three trips to Kiev.
I'm going to cry now.
And he went and he rescued all of our embryos. And then I heard through this Facebook group, oh, they're in Slovakia. And then we contacted the agency last week to ask the question. I haven't been, obviously, like, our concern is how they are. I don't really want to be asking them loads of questions about us right now. So our six little embryos are in Slovakia now.
Oh my God.
My babies. But so that's what I said to Martha Beck on the podcast 2 episodes ago, Oprah's life coach. And I said to her, I asked her a personal question about surrogacy and why I felt kind of stuck. So she said, you know, you're still in it. So when you're grieving or you're in the middle of the storm, you can't think clearly. There are no answers because you're still coming to terms with it. You're still dealing with it. And it's only as you move through it, things will become clearer. So I'm still very much in that storm now. And hopefully over the next week or two, I will give myself some space. And let's be honest, we probably will start the process with Canada. Mm-hmm. But my fingers are still crossed for Ukraine. I'll admit that over the last few weeks, I haven't had the energy to put anything into myself. I've been a little bit in survival mode. It's been really busy in work. You know, Pia was off school for Easter for 2 weeks. My healthy habits have kind of fallen by the wayside. And I'd be really, you know, when I was first creating my healthy habits, which is, you know, 5 to 7 portions of fruit and veg a day, the water, the movement, I would have to consciously do that. But then the more that I practice my healthy habits, I didn't even have to think about it. It was just part of my life. But I feel like over the next couple of weeks, I need to bring it back into like my conscious mind and almost start again.
Yes.
And be, you know, be more mindful about what I'm eating, be more mindful. Actually, how much water did I drink today? Because you can tell yourself you drink 2 liters of water a day. You can tell yourself, you know, you eat 5 to 7 portions of fruit and veg. But sometimes, you know, when you're caught in the madness, am I actually doing it?
Well, your body will tell you. because you may have headaches from dehydration, or you may just not feel great, or, you know, your bowels may not move as well as they should. Like, I've been experiencing some constipation lately, and I know why that is, friends, because I've been ordering pizzas.
Yeah.
And I haven't been eating, you know, my cauliflower cheese recipe enough.
So I'm just going to bring the healthy habits back to the forefront of my mind and just become a little bit more present in my day, you know, and what I'm actually doing and how I'm moving and what I'm eating. And it is May. It is a new month, and we do like to talk about what is in season. So just to let you all know what is in season this month in May. So we've got asparagus.
Oh, I love asparagus.
Oh, I love it. New potatoes, radishes, scallions. Mmm, yum. Aubergine, wouldn't be a big aubergine eater. Start to try it.
Yeah. Do you know what? That would be a good one. I often see people talking about aubergines, and obviously it's everybody's favorite emoji. but I just don't really get it.
Let's eat an aubergine each this week.
How do you cook an aubergine? Do you bake it, I think, don't you?
Or you can like put it on the griddle.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Okay, let's eat an aubergine this week and we'll check back in. This is riveting content. And mushrooms. So like I love an asparagus and mushroom pasta, like whole wheat pasta. A little bit of creme fraiche, garlic, bit of onion.
That sounds quite easy. I could do that. I could actually put that together, I reckon. Or you could do a nice risotto with mushrooms. Yeah.
So are you going to eat an aubergine or not?
Look, if you're going to hold me to it, right? If you're going to come back next week and say, how did you cook your aubergine? I will. Well, okay. It's unlikely I'd ever stick it in me basket. I might stick it somewhere else. Jokes.
Once you don't, you're not doing it with your neighbour's aubergines.
I'm in my neighbour's bath with an aubergine. Hey, Imogen, how was your holiday? Yeah, the cats are fine. So's the bath.
Oh, hilarious.
I call that self-love. What do you call that? Creepy.
Get out of my bath. You can take my aubergine. So we're talking about food, and you know the way I like to cook with love, so I can tell if something is like, you know, if there's like loving vibes put into something Jamie makes me.
So do you say to him if there isn't, here, Jay, notice you didn't put any loving vibes in the meal tonight. Thanks very much. Do
and
you?
I'd be like offended.
Wow.
Because I'm like, I put so much love into everything that I make you, and you just literally threw this together and threw it at me. So there is no love in it. So anyway, we went to, over the weekend, you're away, Jamie's mum was 80, and we went to Wexford for her party.
Lovely.
It was an amazing weekend. We went to Marlfield House, which was like Downton Abbey vibes, just so beautiful. So we went for a walk on Sunday, and we bumped into someone Jamie knew, and the cafe there was packed and there was an hour wait. And we said to them, where else, you know, could we get food around here? And they said, oh, there's this new place. It's called Geek, right?
Nice.
And they were like, it's so mad. Like the decor is mad, but the food is so amazing. So off we went. We drove up the road. We get down, we walk into this restaurant that's full of like horror film decor, like witches and Star Wars stuff, and like little collectible things all over the place, right? The guy, I think he owned it, was in a Star Wars t-shirt. So the kids were like, oh, this is so cool. So we go in, we sat down, they make all their own like mayonnaises, ketchups. So we ordered like sandwiches, burgers. I had the like veggie tacos. Oh. And they came out and we were like, oh my God, the food tasted so good. And we couldn't get enough of it. And I just put down my taco. And I said, do you guys know why this food tastes so good? And they were like, why? And I said, because this is their passion. This is the love.
This is the
we
love.
We were surrounded by like Star Wars stuff because this is clearly the person who owns this. This is their dream.
Oh my God, I get it.
This is their purpose. Wow. And that's why their food tastes so nice, because they love it. They believe in it. So if you're in Corktown, check out Geek. Best place ever.
That has really landed with me. He's passionate about horror movies, movie merch. So he's put that in the decor. Mm-hmm. And so every day he comes to work, he's just like, oh yeah, I love this place. I'm surrounded by all my bits. And he goes into the kitchen and he makes food and he's so happy. And the results are on the results speak for themselves. Did you Google review them?
No, but I will.
Make sure you do that now.
We've been hearing about your last couple of months, and it seems like, you know, we've got a shoulder injury, we've got busyness in work, we've got constipation, we don't have a bath. Has there been any sort of lovely things happening? How's your love life?
Oh, God. From constipation to consummation. I wanted to talk about a lovely little moment that happened to me in my last week in my job. So I finished up in one area of the business and I moved to another area of the business. And I worked with a load of freelance producers who made podcasts for us. And there was one girl called Bashak, who I had always just passed and said hi to. And we'd never really had a conversation. And we had a quick conversation when I mentioned I was leaving. I can't remember exactly what we said, but Bashak said, oh, it must have been the angels. And I stop and I look back and I go, hold on a second. She's a soul sister.
Oh, I knew you were going to say that.
And I never even knew. I went back over and I went, Bashak, do you want to have a cup of tea?
Come in. You're welcome.
Welcome. Come forth. Take a seat. Take a seat. Angels. So Bashak is 27, originally from Turkey. Beautiful, beautiful girl. So I sit down opposite her and she's so vivacious and she's full of fun. And straight away, she said to me, what is it you want? I was like, me? She was like, manifestation wise, like, what do you want? You know, you have to be really specific if you want to manifest what you want. I'm sitting there going, this is crazy, but I'm just going to go with it. So she was like, what kind of partner are you looking for? And she was like, go home tonight and write down the specifics so the universe knows. Mm. I was like, okay. And she goes, in fact, just tell me now, just paint the picture. So I started to describe the person that I would love to meet. And after I described them, she said to me, you know, you just described yourself. And I said, have I? She goes, yeah, that's who I see when I see you. So we parted ways and I was so enchanted by the conversation. And I really believe that these little nudges happen when they're supposed to. So I went home that evening and I wrote down in my journal the meeting Bashak and having that conversation and all the specifics about this person that I wanted to meet. And let me tell you, this is much of the work that I've been doing on myself, is to realize that the aesthetics in life don't fucking matter, lads. You know, it's not like a tall, dark and handsome chap I'm looking for. I'm looking for a fun, kind, adventurous individual who throws caution to the wind, but also works very hard. So the next morning I went to the bus stop and I was standing there and I was just like minding my own business. And I looked to the right and this gentleman pulls up beside me and he stops exactly where I'm standing, like a meter apart from me. And he's listening to his music and he's kind of like, he's moving his head from side to side. I'm like, he's nice. So he gets on the bus and I get on the bus. I sit down, he sits down in front of me. He gets off the bus, I get off the bus. I'm like, ooh. we're both heading to the station. He waves, big wave, into one of the cafes by the station at like the you know, the chef or the waiter. And I was like, God, that is such a me thing to do. If that was cut the mustard, I'd be waving. I'd be flat out waving in the window. So I'm like, I should tail this guy downstairs and follow him onto the train. And then I went, hark, if this man is meant for me, he will get on the same carriage. Mm-hmm. He disappeared. I got to the end of the escalator and I went, okay, I'm just going to do what I always do, which is go left and go all the way to the end of the platform. I go left all the way to the end of the platform. There he is. He's there. This has never, in 7 years, this has never happened to me before. Like, people always talk about having exchanges like this on trains and I have just never been open to it. Mm-hmm. So I get on the train and I sit down and I open Oprah. Because I'm reading Oprah again at the moment. What I know for sure.
Ooh,
what I know for sure. And I look down at Oprah and then I look up and I see him. He sees me and he gives me the most beautiful smile. Like the biggest ear to ear smile. And I ordinarily, George, would have found that kind of embarrassing because there's loads of other people on the train and stuff. Mm. But in that moment, it was just me and him. And I took the smile and I put my head back into my book. We got off at Stockwell to change tube lines. He ran off. I think he probably went to the same position. I saw him look back a couple of times to see if I was behind him, I assume, because we're lovers now. But we didn't get on the same train. And what I got from that was there are people just like you out there. Mm. All you have to do is look. And the second thing I did was not attached to the outcome. So maybe a couple of years back or even a couple of months back, I would have been like, oh, where's train guy? Oh my God. Like, we're obviously meant to get married. And now where is he? I took it for what it was. Just a lovely little warm and cozy moment. And an indication that love is going to come. He's just probably going to be on the next train.
We mentioned at the start of the podcast that Soul Sisters is brought to you with Colgate, who believe everyone deserves a future to smile about.
We're going to share our reasons to smile all this series. Georgie, what made you smile this week?
So, Claire, I have a human alarm clock, as we all know, my little Pee-wee. She used to wake up and say, shout into our room, Mummy and Daddy, is it the morning time? I can hear the birdies tweeting. So cute. Now, she's a big girl. She gets out of bed all by herself and comes in and you open your eyes and there she is staring at us. As a result, I've decided to set my alarm 30 minutes earlier than usual. I get up a little bit earlier and that extra time has transformed my week. I cannot believe how much better I feel. And, you know, Oprah speaks about it all the time, giving yourself the gift of time. So it's put a pep in my step and I feel a little bit happier and it's given me something to smile about.
Colgate champion optimism and provide many dental care products that have clinically proven benefits for you and your family. Available in all major Irish supermarkets and pharmacies. The Good Glow wrapped up this week. And do you know what I found myself doing, which I've never done before when I listened to that series of yours? I listened to each episode twice because I just listen when I'm doing stuff. And then I think, oh no, I have to go back and pick up those little bits of those breadcrumbs of wisdom that I missed. So I listen again. And actually this season, I found myself writing down like two brilliant bits of advice or wisdom or an observation that I made every episode. Like, highlights for me were Spenny, Spencer Matthews, loved Martha Beck. And actually, I really loved this week's episode with Angela Scanlon.
And why do you say actually there?
Well, I think I have wrestled with Angela Scanlon in my mind for a long time. And I think it's because I've been so envious of her journey into her career, you know, her, everything about her I want, you know, I just love the way that she has been so successful in her TV career, and she's got a lovely husband. She's got two daughters, like everything just to me felt perfect. Mm. And I think I found that kind of difficult to digest. And because we're both gingers, and I gave the old TV career a go and it didn't work out for me. So it did make me feel, I often found it difficult. And so I was really interested actually to see what this episode with her was all about, because I know, is her book Joyrider?
Mm.
I knew by the name, and I knew by anything, any conversations that you and I had had, that actually she was going to be talking about the times in her life that she struggled and the challenges she faced.
So were you surprised by anything in the episode?
One of the things that really struck me was when she said she felt like she was her own troll in her head. Now, that took me right back to my own experience when I was on TV and I'd had some really quite damaging comments made on Twitter, that I took to, like a dart to my chest. And I realized when Angela said she was her own troll, it struck me why trolling hurt me so bad. And it's because somebody wrote down, whoa, I'm getting a bit emotional now. Somebody wrote down on Twitter something I already thought about myself.
Mm.
So if someone said, she's too ugly to be on television, you know, I had already thought about that. Like if somebody said on Twitter, right, if someone said, Jesus, the size of Claire Solon's earlobes, I'd be like, my earlobes? I haven't even looked at them. What? Oh, right. Okay. Jeez. But because they hit a nerve and they found a limiting belief that actually existed within me,
it hurt more.
It hurts more. So when I heard Angela say that, that set me free. That set me free. And I thought to myself, I thought she was so honest and really relatable. And it just showed me that here's the thing. You wish for a career. You wish for a husband. You wish for your life to be a certain way. But that doesn't guarantee you happiness. You can't cling on to the joy. You know, the joy comes from within. And the only way you get that joy is by doing the work.
Mm. And I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I loved when she was talking about that she was keeping herself small. I was so related to that. So like, you know, I would suffer a little bit when anxiety sometimes, like fear, what if, focusing on them 24/7 is keeping me small. Whereas if I step out of that fear and actually do the things that I want to do, I'll get more into like a flow state and I will grow and grow and grow. And yeah, keeping yourself small, huge aha moment for me. And I always say that like you can hear one thing in a podcast or read one thing in a book and it can actually change how you think about yourself and your life. So grateful to her for coming on and having that chat. One thing we loved about last season was recommends, and we're going to bring it back. So, Claire, what do you recommend this week?
Well, because I had that really special conversation with Bashak and she reminded me that manifestation is a tool that is at all of our disposals, I decided to pick up Manifest 7 Steps to Your Best Life by Rosie Nafusi.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's that orange book that you've seen probably all over Instagram. Bella Hadid was holding a copy of it and was papped.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And interestingly enough, I read an article about Rosie Nafusi and she said that was a manifestation of mine. So she loved Bella Hadid because Bella had spoken very openly and honestly about the challenges that she faces in life and her anxiety. So she had thought to herself, I would love, you know, a celebrity like Bella to read my book. And sure enough, it went and happened.
Wow.
So she has 7 steps. I love steps. Like I love, you know, being given a clear path to something. Mm-hmm. So I bought the book as you and I often do, hard copy that I can read on the train and audible copy also. She calls manifestation a meeting of science and wisdom. Manifesting is a philosophy and a self-development practice to help you reach your goals, cultivate self-love, and live your best life. So if you fancy learning more about manifestation, it's definitely worth reading.
I'm also going to recommend a book that I've been listening to. I decided to give myself a break from self-help and wellness books, and I'd heard that the Phil Knight book about Nike or Nike was amazing. So I downloaded Shoe Dog. It's basically his autobiography. So Phil Knight is the creator of Nike, and he gives away like $100 million a year to charity. He's done wow. like really great work. So something he said right at the end of the book really stopped me in my tracks. He said he was reflecting back on his career, his family life, you know, everything that he's achieved. He was just talking about his life, and he goes, his secret regret is that he wished he could do it all over again. Relive it all. He said, God, how I wish I could relive it all, every single second of it.
Wow. So even the low times, even the sadness, even the failures, he'd do it all again.
Absolutely. He said, let disappointments be your fuel.
Oh,
and preach. You know what? It made me stop, and it made me go, I'm on a journey, and I just got to stop and appreciate every single second of it. And I say it to Jamie all the time, so I need to practice what I preach. I say to Jamie all the time, Jamie, these are the good old days.
All right, Nana.
These are the good old days. We're in it.
Yeah.
We need to appreciate every second of this. What are you going to do this week?
I'm going to do my job. I'm going to do my new job. So my new job is going to fully immerse me in branded podcasting. So I will, I'll be able to tell you next week how much hell I'm in, you know, trying to get to grips with a new job. Like everything from how do I use that coffee machine to how do I do this job? What about you? What are you doing for the week?
I have a lot to do.
Do you? What do you have to do?
I have to continue planning my show, May 30th, during the National Concert Hall. We're almost sold out. Oh my God, so excited. So last time in the show, do you remember I was saying to you, I'm just going to say what I feel. This show is different. I've been there. And now that I've done the National Concert Hall, I know what to expect more. I know what we can do. Mm. We filmed something very exciting for it. I'm so excited for people to see it. So I'm going to plan more of the show. Myself and Jamie are working really well together at the moment. Things are good for me and Jamie at the moment.
That's good.
I'm happy. I'm happy.
Happy life, happy wife.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Happy We're wife. Just really making an effort to like respect each other and listen to each other and communicate. And that was one of my goals for 2022, was to put energy into my relationship, because we have been through many ups and downs. Mm. We're 7 years married. We've had MS diagnosis, a cancer diagnosis, the surrogacy falling apart. It's been really tough for us, but we are making a huge effort to put some energy into our relationship this year, and it's paying off.
Well done, dude. And can I just say one thing that came to me there when you were talking? If you're putting love into your food, you know what else you need to put love into?
My man.
Your man. Yes, girl.
Yeah, we're spreading the love.
Yeah, spread the love a little bit more evenly there, would you? Yeah. Bit for Pia, bit for Pappy, bit for Jamie.
So yeah, that's my week. I've absolutely loved every second of this.
Me too. It's good to be back.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Soul Sisters. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to send it on to a friend or leave us a review. That would really mean so much to us. We'll see you next week.